Now, Dave Kaufman hosts The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman, but also Jay Farrar. The Kaufman Show, only on TSN 690.
That's right. Welcome back. It's your favorite radio show on TSN 690 right here in Montreal, Montreal. If you were Bob Cole, how would you pronounce Montreal? Thinking that all night long you heard him say Detroit.
Montreal.
I like it. Hello, Jay Farrar.
Hello, Dave Kaufman.
How are you?
I'm good.
Wow. You've got the voice of authority going on right now.
I was doing Bob Cole.
Well, then you should tell me that everything is happening.
Everything is happening.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
We've got a big show tonight, and we're going to start it off right away. Our first guest is on the line. Tomorrow is a huge day for Montreal baseball fans. Tomorrow.
For Montreal.
For Montreal. You're
in
right.
In general.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, because Gary Carter transcends baseball in this
yes,
city.
Yes, he does.
And tomorrow, you will be able to type into a GPS machine, Gary Carter Street in Montreal. Fayon Street West tomorrow is renamed Rue Gary Carter, and we are fortunate enough to be joined once again on the program by Gary's daughter, Kimmy Carter Blomers. Kimmy, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. We're so excited for tomorrow. It's such a wonderful event, and it's unfortunate that you guys aren't going to be able to join us tomorrow.
I know. We actually didn't hear about it until just recently. And of course, being in a different country and having to get all of our ducks in a row, it was just difficult for us to get up there in such short notice. But we are just incredibly honored and just so excited that that's all happening. Like you said, you know, you type in the GPS and it's Gary Carter Street, and that's just unbelievable. And so we are all sad that we won't be there, but really excited this event's happening.
Well, it'll be a wonderful event, and it's the first of many tributes to your dad that the City of Montreal and Roger Brulotte and that whole committee has organized. I know that in the middle of June, the Gary Carter Park at Ahuntsic. There'll be a formal dedication, and fingers are crossed that you guys are going to be coming in for that, right?
Yes. The same day that we found out about this that was going on for tomorrow, it's given us a little bit more notice, and we are hoping that, we'll be able to go up there and just, see Montreal. I haven't been up there for quite a while, and I know my brother and my mother were there last summer, but we are all really excited and really trying to make it all work and make sure we have the passports and all that kind of stuff ready to go. But we really want to be up there. I absolutely love Montreal. I was born there, of course, and so I have even a stronger, connection there myself, but it would just be awesome. So we are trying to make it work to go up there in June.
I know that there have been several parks, both in Montreal and in Florida, named after your dad, but what does it feel like to have a street named after him? That seems like a whole different level. Usually streets in the city are reserved for saints.
Yeah, you're right. It is, because, yes, there have been parks named after him. There's been, yes, both in Florida, in Canada. Well, I guess Canada, I don't know if this will be the first one. Will this be the first one in June, or has there been others?
There's another one in where you used to play baseball for Grand Slam Baseball School. That was renamed after your dad.
I remember that. Okay, yeah, that's right. And then in California as well, I know that there's been, parks named there as well. So, certainly, all of that is just unbelievable, because obviously my dad is just, in my eyes, just so amazing. I know you guys feel the same way, but yeah, street, you just can't get any higher than that. That's just unbelievable. I know that he did great things as far as in baseball. He, can't get any better than the Hall of Fame, but then when you look and you're like, well, now you have a street named after you. That's you gotta be a big dog for that one. So yeah, he's in that category, and it's pretty awesome. So
now,
yeah.
What have you guys been doing of late to help keep your dad's memory alive?
Well, I can't even believe it's been over a year already since he has passed, but we are continuing the Gary Carter Foundation. We've actually kind of sparked it up a little bit more and have recreated the website, and we are strictly now putting anything that we make through the Gary Carter Foundation for autism, and we've got that connection with my nephew being autistic, and so but we're doing that, and of course any other kind of charity events, we're doing little things. We're doing one in a couple weeks, and we're actually going to have at a place called Guanabana's. It's down here in Florida. There's going to be a drink named after my dad. I think it's called the number 8, the backstop, and money raised again towards autism, and there's a golf tournament every February and things like that. And so we're going to do events and raising money that way and just keeping that alive, because I know Dad was all about kids and, of course, autism as well, and just for any charity. My dad, he really dipped himself into any kind of charity and just wanted to help. And, of course, that's one of the many reasons why we loved him so much, and he was such a fan favorite. So, we do that. And, of course, it's going to take us a while, but very soon we'll be going through more of my dad's things. He was quite a collector of things, and course kept every single thing of his, truly for his entire career. When he was a little boy up to all the way through, he kept everything. He was just such a collector and just so enjoyed when he played and different events and different things. But basically his entire life is in a couple storages that we have down here. So we're excited to go through it and just remember all the wonderful times and things like that. And then we're going to kind of figure out a possible, time for us to maybe put things up on the website for possible purchases and things like that. But that'll be a little bit down the road, but we definitely want to do that in the future.
A couple of minutes left with Kimmy Carter-Blomers, Gary Carter's daughter. Of course, tomorrow the city of Montreal honors Gary Carter by renaming Fayon Street West after him. Kimmy, was Gary a big baseball memorabilia guy? You say he collected a lot of things. Was it just his own stuff or stuff throughout all of baseball?
No, not at all. We know the nickname was the kid, but he was truly like a little kid when it came to collecting things. He would collect, well, of course, all the greats, the Babe Ruth, the, Hank Aaron, whatever, anything you could think of, he would just try to get his hands on, as far as just because it's not because he could say, oh, look what I have. He was never that kind of way. It was just that he loved those, players and had respect for them and just wanted to collect those things, but then he also collected other sports too. He collected, you know, football or, you know, basketball or anything like that. So he just loved to collect memorabilia from other players, anything like that. And he kept everything that fans would give him too. I mean, he would keep, you know, things that fans would make him. And I mean, he just appreciated things like that. And he didn't care about things because that's, you know, things in life don't matter. Like, you know, but as far as with him, he just enjoyed that part, you know, of, I guess, just getting to know other players and having their things and whatever. And as well as, you know, and not even just sports things, but he would get into, when he was a kid, he, you know, got marbles and the tops of milk cartons. And I the list is so long. I don't know. It's just, he was just a theme guy, liked to collect things, and it was just fun for him. So whatever that theme was for that moment, he got his hands on it and enjoyed it. So
finally, Kimmy, is there a piece of Gary Carter memorabilia that you cherish personally?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we all know that he's got the, you know, the big awards, the World Series and the Gold Gloves and all that kind of stuff. But, oh, my goodness.
You don't use his mitt, do you?
Well, no, I haven't used his mitts, and those are pretty, you know, valuable in those sense. But, no, I remember, I mean, I just remember when I was a kid, and I would throw the baseball with him, you know, and that was a lot of fun for me because, you know, he obviously trained me to be, you know, a good little player, so I felt like I could actually keep up with him with his arm and things like that. So that was kind of fun. Whether he actually threw as fast as he could, I doubt that when I was 12 years old, but it was a lot of fun for me to throw with him. But I don't know. There's so many things that I could say that I just, you know, I actually found this certificate that, because, again, we've been going through things, and found this certificate. He had done something, church or whatever, and it was just really cool because he actually wrote on there. He did one for every one of us kids. There's three of us. And he wrote on there and he said, I pledge, you know, at, you know, Gary Carter, you know, as Kimmy's dad. And again, like I said, he did it for Christy and DJ as well, to be this, you know, dedicated father who will love her forever and things like that. And this whole thing, and he just signed it. And I found that, you know, just the other day. And so it's like little things like that actually matter to me more than the Gold Gloves and the Silver Sluggers and things like that. And of course, memories that I have of him are just so cherished. But, I mean, it's just such a list. I thankfully had just such an amazing dad, and we had such an amazing family that, I mean, the list is so long of things that I treasure. But thankfully I have so many memories in my heart and in my head that I remember them and smile all the time.
Kimmy, I would love to give you a minute just to address the people tomorrow and just to say what you would have said if you had been here standing up at the crowd when Fion Street West is renamed after your dad.
Okay. Well, I would, first of all, not be able to get through it at all because I'm in front of a crowd of people and I talk about my dad, the waterworks come and I really can't emotionally get through very much. But since I'm not in front of a crowd of people and other people are just hearing me, it would just be, I would just be thanking them, because people are loving and appreciate my dad, like my family, my mom, myself, my sister, my brother, and, you know, our spouses. And we're just unbelievably grateful for that, and how I can't believe that a street is being named for him. And it's just such a high honor, and it just shows I love him, and we're just so thankful. And thank you for, you know, just remembering him and always remembering it, because obviously you're going to be coming down that street, and you know you have to say, well, I'm on Gary Carter Street, or I have to make it right on Gary Carter Street, and so his name will be mentioned. And so we're just, like I said, it's just such an emotional thing for us. And I know that Dad is smiling from heaven, and, you know, we're just all grateful that you guys remember him and remember us.
Kimmy, thank you so much for your time tonight. And we really appreciate everything that your family has done for Montreal. Tomorrow will be a very special day, and we wish you were here, but we'll hopefully see you in a few weeks for the Gary Carter Park ceremony in Ahuntsic. Oh, and there she's cutting out. But thank you, Kimmy. That's Kimmy Carter-Blomers live from South Florida. We'll be back on The Kaufman Show.
Back in September of 1992, it was a very, very special moment for me, my family, and for hopefully all of you, the fans of Montreal.
It was fall 1998 at the rally. 3,000 Expos fans was the tally. Black is there, Rusty gushed around Jerry, but I knew it couldn't be without talking to Gary. And I'd tell him all about the day 6 years.
seats prior. The night of his last game, the night kid retired. Had tickets in the bleachers, but I snuck down. Needed to say bye, the only way I knew how. I told him I made a sign, spent all night drawing. And all I wanted was to make sure that he saw it. The slightest acknowledgement would have been worth the while. But I was thrilled when I got a thumbs up and a smile. We stood together singing the anthem loud. Most of the cameras held my sign up proud. The next morning, Dad showed me the paper cover. There was Gary Hanon Hart and me right above him. When I told kid the story, he smiled and asked my name and said he had that same pic at home in a frame. Today I got it hanging in my studio office. It's signed, God Bless You, the kid, Gary Carr.
Gary
Carr. And not buns. I can't imagine how it felt to lose your mom. So young, but you dream to make the bigs lived on. Imagine how it felt to be so close and not win it. Imagine being the very last hope but still hit it. They don't make them like you anymore these days. A player who smiles for fans and loves the game. I wanted to play like you, know everything about you. And now I can't imagine my childhood without you. Never would have been that great team without kids' help. And without the team, I might have never been a kid myself. I promise when I'm down, I'll think of that fall day. If I need inspiration, I'll think of how you played. If I need to act in class, I'll copy your style. And if I need to feel young again, I'll think of your smile.
He's looking at you, kid. Do you cause you smile? I won't forget the passion in your eyes.
Anakin Slade with his tribute to the kid. You're listening to The Kaufman Show, and we'll be back.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
Your face is frozen, I'd say stunned. But we're made to learn from what's already been done. So don't try to walk on water, you're sure to drown. Cause there's nothing but thieves and beggars in this town.
Welcome back to The Kaufman Show, I'm Dave. That guy coughing is Jay.
Oh, God. I'm all right.
You all right there?
Yeah.
Whatever's in the throat is out of the throat. You're good?
Yeah.
All right.
That song.
Welcome back. Oh, you don't like the Jimmy Riggers?
No, no, no. Jimmy puts it up.
This is Joseph Kearns' favorite Jimmy Riggers song. He calls it Thieves and Beggars. Thieves and Beggars. Nothing but thieves and beggars in this town.
I get a lump in my throat. Every time I hear the kid tribute.
Yeah, it's by your brother.
My bro.
It's an emotional song. Both
it's a,
of the,
it's a nice song.
Both of his Expo songs.
Yeah.
They hit me.
They
hit
do.
Me.
There's they something do. About them.
There's, yeah, well, I think it's plain as day what it is. He managed to put into song the way that Expo's fans have felt.
Yeah. And you know, getting a street named after you is one thing, but a drink named after you? That's pretty awesome.
It doesn't strike me as the most Gary Carter of tributes.
No, it's not.
A drink
no,
named
that,
after
that
him.
Wasn't really his style.
No.
But be sure there'll be a J. Farrar one day.
Yeah, what would be a J. Farrar? The pint of Guinness already has a name.
Yeah.
You're not going to overtake that. Nobody's going to be walking into a pub in Ireland saying, I'll have a J. Farrar, please.
Yeah. They'll have to invent a whole new kind of liqueur for me.
A whole new kind of liqueur.
Yeah.
I make you a deal. If John Paul Morosi is right and MLB takes a second look and brings baseball back to Montreal, I'll name a drink after you. I'll open a damn bar and name a drink after you. Jimmy?
This is John Paul Morosi reporting for FoxSports.com. At the Major League Baseball owners' meetings last week, I asked Commissioner Bud Selig if there was anything new to report on new stadiums for the Oakland Athletics and Tampa Bay Rays. He answered simply that there were still discussions going on, but there was nothing to report. I also asked Bud Selig if perhaps there might be a time when baseball could go back to Montreal because Montreal would be a more viable market for the sport right now. He didn't really want to answer the question, and he said basically that wasn't something that was being talked about at that point. But in my opinion, it should be. Because right now, I can't see how Montreal is any worse of a baseball market than Oakland and Tampa Bay. And frankly, I think it will be a much better baseball market than Oakland or Tampa Bay at this point. Here are a few reasons why. Number one, what is the single greatest driving force behind franchise value in baseball spending right now? Television, media, rights. And what could you do in Montreal that you can't do in any place in the United States? You can sell those rights twice, in English and in French. Surely some enterprising owner would think of this and realize he could basically double his money by having a franchise in Montreal. Secondly, the Canadian dollar is basically on par with the U.S. dollar and has been for several years. That was not the case in 2004 when the Expos left Montreal and moved to Washington, D.C. Thirdly, there's been a lot of talk over the years about how Canadian voters are less likely to support a publicly financed stadium than their American counterparts. And that is true. But again, how do you expect the voters in Florida to support a new stadium for the Rays after the fiasco that's unfolded in Miami with Jeffrey Loria? Frankly, at this point, the odds of a publicly financed stadium in both places might be about the same, even if they are, in fact, close to zero. Again, I think that if you put the right ballpark in the right spot in Montreal, it could be just as successful, perhaps even more successful, than what you would see in Tampa Bay, given where their attendance has been for a very long time, and frankly, where regular season attendance is in Oakland. This is something baseball needs to look at. We cannot have many more years pass by where simply the large market teams are subsidizing the smaller market teams because they cannot get a new stadium underway. And right now, it certainly doesn't appear like there's been much progress made in Oakland or Tampa Bay. So my suggestion, take one more look at Montreal.
Man, oh man. John Morosi for Prime Minister of Canada. Get that man Mike Duffy's Senate appointment.
Preach, my brother.
Unbelievable.
Testify.
Why has this not come up before, the doubling up of the broadcast rights? It's genius. It's genius. Why has that not been discussed before?
Yeah, it's almost like you have two markets in the same area.
Well,
two markets in one market.
Which exists throughout baseball.
A lot of teams have Spanish language.
Some even have Japanese.
Yeah.
It exists. But, I mean, this is huge. This is huge. And it took John Morosi of Fox Sports to come up with it.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Good point.
Hopefully this makes some traction.
Good for Fox?
I know, was my reaction, okay, too. But but you know what? If you add the sports in afterwards, then it's kind of
Fox Sports.
Bit, yeah, Fox Sports, you know.
Fox Sports always been good.
With the touchdown dancing robot.
Yeah. Yes.
Ta-da-na, ta-da-na.
And the laser puck.
And the laser puck.
Yes.
I would like to see one of those.
No, you don't.
I wonder if the technology would have improved if they'd done that nowadays. Could you imagine, like, an HD, what the laser puck would look like?
Yes.
What
awful.
Well, it looked awful before.
It would look awful again.
they could incorporate the technology of laser puck to figure out when pucks cross the goal line with
that might
traffic
help.
In the net.
Yeah, that might help.
They could put that little chip into a soccer ball and we wouldn't have the England-Germany debacle from the last World Cup.
Give a signal to the referee so you know when to blow the whistle on time.
Interesting that he mentions Bud Selig saying that this is not something that we're thinking about, that we're addressing right now.
No. Why would Bud Selig ever say, oh, yeah, sure, we're thinking? Never. As far as he's concerned, baseball is dead in Montreal.
Somebody approached me at the Celebrity Sports Breakfast, Mike Cohen's shindig at the Cummings Center.
Yes.
Saying that the next commissioner of baseball will have great close ties with the city of Montreal, and it will be unavoidable that they'll be looking at Montreal. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea who this person was thinking of?
I do.
Who?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think I'm supposed to say.
You can say. He was theorizing
next
commissioner of baseball would be John McHale Jr.
Right. And there's some sentiment that Steve Rogers would also play a role.
To be commissioner.
He's involved in the politics. So he would as commissioner.
I would like to see a former player as the commissioner of baseball. There's no way. He's so high up at the PA that I can't imagine Steve Rogers suddenly flipping sides and taking, you know, a hard line against the PA in any type of negotiations. He spent his entire post-career life dedicated to the MLB Players Association.
Yeah. And having on good authority, though, that he believes that Montreal should have a team again.
Well, it seems to be more and more common.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's everybody's sexy pick in Final Four in March Madness.
It seems
the Expos are coming back.
Yeah, the Montreal seems to be the front runner when it comes to rumors involving expansion.
The front runner in the non-existent race,
right,
to bring back baseball.
Right,
we need to get more people involved and excited about it. And after the break, which we're about to take right now, we're going to come back and talk about an opportunity for you to watch two former Major League pitchers in Montreal go head to head.
Nice.
Yeah. You know where?
That hasn't happened in a while.
You know where?
Where?
At Gary Carter Park in Ahuntsic.
Perfect.
That's right.
Listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar, only on TSN 690.
The Whiz Kids had won it, Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn, so down on the corner the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball, the man and Bobby Fella, the scooter, the barber and the nuke, they knew them all from Boston to Dubuque, especially Willie, Mickey and the Duke.
Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. I'm Dave Kaufman. You can reach me on Twitter at The Kaufman Show. That's 1F, 1N. Jay Farrar, my lovely, talented co-host, is at J Pub
Radio.
And if you don't spell it with that gargly radio, you don't get it.
No. J Pub Radio.
You can also follow The Kaufman Show on Facebook. You can send us a fax at, you know, that normal fax number. What's our telex?
I'm sorry, what? What is that?
Oh, I'm sorry, I just got caught in a time warp. That's weird. I don't know.
What?
I guess I was back in a time when Major League Baseball was in Montreal.
I don't know.
You know that there's an opportunity on May 25th to watch two great major leaguers go head-to-head in a battle at Gary Carter Park in Ahuntsic.
Yeah, it's not only a competition of talent, but there's a some personality traits that may come out between the two of these guys.
We've got a battle of Oil Can Boyd versus Bill Lee on May 25th. We're going to speak with John Vergados right now. He is the founder of the Ron Pichet Senior Baseball League, and he's got quite a story to tell about this wonderful event coming up on the 25th. Hello, John.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
It's been a long, long time since I heard that song you led off with, and it's pretty great song.
Yeah, I love talking baseball. It's you know, it's funny. It's Terry Cashman that wrote it, and supposedly he still gets asked to play the Simpsons version more than he does the original.
Yeah, no, there's a few versions. I think we had our own custom one back then.
We did. We had our own Expos version. It is out there. There's a version of it on YouTube. The quality isn't wonderful, but you just type in Talkin' Expos and you can find it.
All right. Thanks for that.
And maybe we'll hear it on the 25th at Gary Carter Park.
Yeah, we're going to have some music there, some announcements. It's going to be quite the day. I guess you guys want a little bit of history of how it happened.
Yeah, well, first of all, tell us what it is. I know it's a wonderful charity event, and all I've told the public is that Bill Lee is facing off against the Oil Can.
Well, yeah, initially it was just supposed to be a two-game exhibition against a team that contacted us from Massachusetts called the Wrentham Warriors. They're a championship team from Massachusetts Men's League, I believe, over 50. So they're a bit older, and their pitcher was Oil Can. So basically it was just going to be a small little fundraiser for the league and possibly a local charity or something like that. And then when the Boston Marathon bombings happened, we decided quickly as a league to turn it into a fundraiser for Boston and the victims over there. So we contacted also Billy, and he agreed to pitch for us. So I don't think they've ever faced each other before, so it's going to be quite an adventure. And they're both, like your co-host suggested, pretty illustrious characters from Major League Ball. And they both pitched for Boston, and they both pitched for Montreal, and they both had great success, and they did it their way. So, I mean, Bill was pretty gracious. He's going to be driving up here. He has a breakfast in Boston that same day for to benefit MS, an MS cause, and then he's going to take off from there and join us here for a 6 o'clock start.
Awesome.
At this game. But it's an all-day event. We're doing it in honor of the little boy, Martin Richards, who died. We're opening up the day with 2 8-year-old peewee teams playing. I believe one for Pierre Fond, one from Dollard. And then after that, because it would have been a little bit unfair, lopsided, if we put our younger guys to play in this game, and we basically reserved it for the older veterans of the league,
right?
Like me and some other guys. So we're trying to keep the team 40 and over, which is tough because it's a pretty competitive league. But there's still a few of us around that can hobble, I guess. But yeah, it's going to be quite the day. Bill's going to be there. Oil Can's going to be there. I'm sure they're going to be engaging with fans, especially after the game. I know they're both competitive. I don't believe they want to talk to anybody before, including myself. So.
But it should be a really fun opportunity, especially for young people, to watch a couple of great major leaguers pitch. And, I'm expecting there will be a lot of people at this. It's a great cause. And, again, names, so...
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, the characters, you can't beat them. It's what I miss about baseball today. You don't get characters like this anymore.
Unfortunately not.
No, it seems to be they're just carbon copies of each other, everybody. There's nobody, I don't know. Baseball's changed for me, and I miss it. I miss Montreal baseball, especially in light of the movie that came out recently, 42. It's really, it started bothering me even more, you know, that basically we're kind of erasing Montreal's history in the place of baseball. I mean, we were, not primarily, but we made it easier for black players to transition. And
absolutely.
Sort of like Sealing and Loria just wiped that off the face of the earth, by doing what they did.
Well, events like the 25th and tomorrow with the Gary Carter Street and renaming, piece by piece, little by little, people are starting to remember the history of baseball in this town and embrace it, most importantly.
Yeah, we're hoping for a great turnout. I mean, we're charging $5 admission just to raise, like I said, some money for people. We have something that we want to do. We're just hoping we amass enough money to do it. I don't want to announce it until it happens. I'm sure we will, but I just don't want to jinx it.
Of course. No, I fully understand that. John, is there a website that people can go to for more information?
Yeah, we do have a fundraiser site up. It's called Helping Boston Heal. I mean, for people who can't attend, who just support what we're doing, they can always make an online donation. We're going to be raising money well after. We have to make the official presentation July 4th in Boston. So basically, we do have some time afterwards. It's just we're trying to take advantage in this game to get the bulk of it, you know.
May 25th at Gary Carter Park in Ahuntsic. John Vergatos, you're doing wonderful work. The website is helpingbostonheal.com?
No, it's Helping Boston. It's a Facebook event page.
Oh, okay.
If you're typing helping Boston Heal, you'll find it.
Got it. On Facebook. Helping Boston Heal on Facebook. John Vergatos from the Ron Pichet Senior Baseball League in Quebec. Thank you so much for your time tonight. And best of luck with the event on the 25th.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks a lot for the time.
Good night. Play us out, Jimmy.
Well, Mr. Burns had done it. The power plant had won it. With Roger Clemens clucking all the while. Mike Socia's tragic illness made us smile. While Wade Boggs lay unconscious on the barroom tile. We're talking softball, from Maine to San Diego. Talking softball, Mattingly and Canseco. Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Sachs and his running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw. We're talking softball, from Maine to San Diego. Talking softball, Mattingly and Canseco. Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Sachs and his running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw.
Welcome back. We're not going to take a break. That's too good a song. We just played Talking Baseball to go into the segment and Talking Softball to go out of it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, the comedic stylings of Torben Rolfson. Hello, Torben.
Hey, Dave, Jay. Happy Victoria Day. How are you?
Oh, and a happy Victoria Day to you. You know how they celebrated Victoria Day in Quebec?
How? Oh.
There was a dartboard with a picture of Queen Elizabeth on it, and people
there
took their turns throwing darts.
C'est la journée des patriotes aujourd'hui, mon ami.
That's right. It is Patriots Day in the province of Quebec.
Excellent. Queen Victoria. They auctioned off her panties a year or two ago. They looked like Andre the Giant's wrestling trunks.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, women's underwear, it seems to be getting smaller and smaller these days. Or maybe I just keep viewing it from further and further away.
What's going on in the wacky, wild world of sports, Torben?
Well, rumors are the Canucks will be after Rafi Torres yet again this summer, so the headhunter becomes the headhunted.
Nice.
It's like an on-again, off-again high school romance with those two. or prisondate.com.
Oh, wow. Boy, okay.
Wow.
some horrific attendance at the World Hockey Championships. I don't think Tampa and Miami should host again.
There you are.
Alex Edler on Eric Stahl, the worst hit in Sweden since ABBA's final album.
Booyah! Jimmy liked that one.
And a rough bit of karaoke in Saskatoon at the Memorial Cup Saturday. Did you see that botched Star-Spangled Banner?
Oh, man.
Oh, I felt sorry for her. The singer was making up nonsensical words to fill in the gaps. She's since returned to her day job as Rob Ford's PR spokesperson.
At least she didn't fall on the ice.
48 minutes and 51 seconds. That's how long it took to get Rob Ford into the conversation on the Kaufman Show. Thank you, Torben. Next.
So people are complaining that the officiating in the NBA playoffs is rigged. Yes, the association's conspiring to have a Final Four featuring teams in San Antonio, Indiana, Memphis, and the Everglades. That sounds like a fishing derby circuit.
Nice.
Or gator wrestling. We haven't seen a collection of such rinky-dink towns since Kazakhstan's last mayor's conference.
Jeez.
Yahoo is buying a photo-sharing website Tumblr for $1.1 billion. That's the same value as the New York Knicks, but only they haven't figured out sharing yet.
Nice. I guess Jimmy's a Knicks fan. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm a Knicks fan, too. The Knicks Jason Kidd in the playoffs. I haven't seen that many zeros since Vince Young took the Wunderlich test.
Always fun to kick people when they're down.
And finally, the Charlotte Bobcats are changing their name back to the Hornets. Marketing move or witness protection program?
I look forward to the Converse Grandmama ads once again, Torben.
There you go.
What's going on this week with you?
Not too much. Doing some comedy shows, and we're getting ready for some cool temps and lots of rain here.
Oh, well, why don't you tell the people about the comedy shows, and all of our fine listeners in the 604 can go watch you.
Yeah, we're coming up again, actually, at Kino on Tuesday, and then early June at Yuck Yuck.
Wonderful. Torben Rolfson, we'll speak with you next Monday. Follow him on Twitter at VanGuy. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
We will, and to you. You're listening to The Kaufman Show on TSN 690. I'm Dave Kaufman. That's Jay Farrar, and we'll be right back to take your calls at 514-790-1690 on the long distance. You know, the toll-free on the long distance.
On the long distance.
On the long distance, 1-866-896-2546.
TSN 690.
That's how you do an intro. That's Bruce Springsteen from 1975, a London Hammersmith Odeon. First show they ever did in Europe. Hi, Jay.
The London
Hammersmith,
Odeon.
The Hip have played there. All the greats have played that
the
place.
The London Hammersmith Odeon.
Correct. All correct. Right. Say it 10 times.
No.
Okay. Say it 5 times.
No.
Okay. Well, you said it twice already.
That's enough.
Let's go to the phones. 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546. We are done with all our guests on The Kaufman Show. It is your turn. Let's hear from you. Let's go to Brian in NDG. Hello, Brian. Hello, Brian. Brian, you got to turn your radio down or call us from a landline or something. Let's try that one more time. Hello, Brian. Can you hear us?
Is that better now?
It's a little shady. Call back. Hang up and call back. We'll get you back right away. Jimmy, take care of that. We'll get Brian right back on the line. Jay, the Morosi thing that we watched,
yes,
or listened to earlier. Again, I'm so blown away by the fact that this hasn't been discussed in the past.
Yeah.
And I know that there are so many hurdles between now and there, but you would have to think that something like this has been discussed at the higher levels and is viewed as a huge bonus for the city of Montreal. And again, TV and radio rights were non-existent back in the day when the Expos were here. I mean, the Expos were on internet radio at one point because they couldn't get a radio deal in English.
Yeah.
I think Samson and Loria wanted more money than was realistic,
right,
at the time. But that has completely changed.
You know, the other thing about it is there's no competing market. Montreal is a secluded city when you really think about
it. Well, what do you
mean? Well, in the ways that if they look at the numbers from RDS with the Habs, the mm-hmm. Habs broadcast, you can see that, yes, of course, the Montreal Canadiens are much more of a national team than the Montreal Expos would be. And that's what I like, though, that Montreal Expos can actually corner the demographic they can have.
Well, the way that Sportsnet has made the Blue Jays Canada's team, you
right.
would think that there could be a network, a competing network.
Yeah.
TSN. that could make the Expos. And frankly, TSN's bigger than Sportsnet, right?
Yes. As
we sit in our lovely TSN chairs in our TSN studio.
Yeah, and that's not the only thing. I mean, Sportsnet, I mean, yeah, I could see how they kind of advertise the Toronto Blue Jays as Canada's team, but I don't believe that.
Well,
I really
they are,
don't.
By, you know, as
no, no,
Simpson
they're
says,
the only team in Canada. They're not Canada's
words
team.
The two sweetest words in the English language are default.
Yeah.
And by default, the Toronto Blue Jays are Canada's team. They
well,
are Canada's only team.
Just like when
Wisconsin's team is the Brewers.
Just like when CTV took that poll on who is Canada's hockey team and
uh-huh.
Montreal Canadiens came out on top. Can you imagine all those, you know...
Yeah, but those polls don't mean anything.
Recently departed Montrealers
uh-huh.
in the last 20 to 30 years...
Or
who
40,
are, who
yeah.
are, yeah, who are living out West, who grew up as Montreal Expos fans, and TSN gets
Jay,
a deal.
You don't have to have left Montreal. You don't have to have been from Montreal. Until the Blue Jays were around...
Montreal was truly Canada's
coast
team.
To coast on CBC Radio,
that's right.
you could listen to the Montreal Expos.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure that CBC Radio hits 97% of this great country
yeah.
of ours. So
but,
Dave and Duke were across the country, and I've heard stories from friends in Toronto where one of my very good friends from university, her dad pulled me aside several years ago and told me the story of being in a classroom in 1981, in October of 1981, in Toronto, and they wheeled TVs in and canceled the classes
mm-hmm.
so that in downtown Toronto... they could watch the
right.
Expos and the Dodgers to
right.
see who'd go to the World Series.
What I'm saying is, though, that there's no... It's not like Baltimore and Washington when they were scared about splitting their viewing
revenue.
Audience.
No, exactly,
yeah.
exactly.
Montreal will be a market on its own without any competition.
Want to talk about scaring a market and cutting into revenue? Les Nordiques de Québec.
Les Nordiques de Québec.
Would kind of cut into the dominance in this province.
Listen, I know a lot of Nordic fans, and they have stayed Nordic fans, and they'd had no team to love, but they had a team to keep on hating.
That's right.
So it makes no difference to them, believe me.
Let's try the phones again. 514-790-1690, 1-866-896-2546 if you're out of town. Let's go to Brian in NDG once again. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, is that better now?
Way better. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. I just wanted to add a little quick point along with the speculation of a new commissioner within the next year.
Yes.
There's also a possibility of a new mayor in Montreal and a new provincial government.
Well, there will definitely be a new mayor. I don't know about a provincial election, but there's going to be a mayoral election, a municipal elections in the fall, I believe. And I don't think that Michael Applebaum's going to be the next mayor of Montreal. I mean, we saw Denis Coderre's press conference this week where he mentioned that he tried to convince Jeffrey Loria to keep the Expos in Montreal. I felt like I was watching a press conference in 2003.
As far as the provincial government goes, they're a minority government. They don't usually last more than a year and a half. And come next winter, it'll be a year and a half. So.
Yeah, but do you see any provincial government jumping on the let's bring back baseball bandwagon? Like with hospitals closing and student protests and all the other corruption scandals and everything that they're dealing with, I feel like baseball's on the back burner. It has to be done privately.
Yeah, I agree. They're not going to jump on the bandwagon and support it, but they're not going to oppose it. If a Liberal government gets in, they're pro-business. They won't oppose it. They might facilitate it a little bit. Like I said, at the very least, they would oppose it because I think the current government probably would oppose it.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. Some small food for thought would be that the greatest years of the Montreal Expos franchise were while the Parti Québécois were in power, weren't they?
They'll probably take credit for it, too.
but you know, it's also the case of, to me, the beginning of the end is when Selig had the meeting with
Bernard Landry.
No, with Bouchard.
No, it was with Bouchard. It was Lucien Bouchard.
Okay.
And Bouchard told him no. He wasn't.
That's right.
Yeah. That was the beginning of the end.
Well, of course it was. And I understand it. I mean, look at the shambles that this province is in. I get I mean, can you imagine right now? We're dealing with this. Have you ever check out the Charbonneau Commission on TV or read about it in the paper?
I follow it after the fact. I watch each day to see what went on.
Yeah, exactly. I watch it each day. I read it in the Gazette the next morning. And honestly, it's a mess. And can you imagine if on top of that they were having discussions about how much extra it cost to build a baseball stadium in Montreal? Can you imagine that the overruns at the height of this corruption in the city? Can we even guarantee that the stadium they would have built would have been safe? I mean, we're dealing with so many cut corners all across the board. It costs 30% more to fix a sidewalk in Montreal than it does in Toronto. Can you imagine what it would have cost to put a baseball stadium downtown in the last 10 years? I can't.
Well, you know, when I originally called you, I was full of hope, vim, vigor, and hope, and this is sounding better and better, and now you put me, you completely turned me around.
Well, I mean, I'd like to think that it's neither, let's not get too high and let's not get too low. And I think that's the best way to approach this
situation.
Dave
has a way of crapping on everyone's contentment, believe me.
That's right. I'm the negative guy in this studio. What the hell is going on? Up is down. Hamburgers are eating people.
By the way, Letterman just did a thing on the Bixie Bike program that's just starting up in New York City.
Really? I thought the Letterman was only on Tuesdays through Fridays. You got to stop that, Brian. I thought all media stops during the Kaufman Show.
Well, you know, I have the media. I have the sound off with the I can read it. You know,
perfect closed captioning.
That's it.
Amazing.
And he was saying that the Bixie bike thing is going to be great. You'll be able to pick the bike up at one location and drop it off at another. But the only problem is, in New York, they've been doing that for years. They just don't pay for it.
Nice.
Brian, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good night. Let's. We got another Brian on the line.
I like what Jimmy writes on the computer screen.
Yeah, not
like,
same Brian.
Brian St. Henry, not same Brian. Unless other Brian is the Flash and ran down St. Jacques.
Hello, other Brian. How are you?
Hey, I just took a quick drive down St. Jacques, and here I am.
Wow, you are quick, man.
That's amazing.
I'm just teasing. Hey, guys. Look, I'm an umpire here in Montreal, and I get to see minor baseball firsthand.
What age group?
All age groups, guys.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I you know, as an umpire, you obviously start off in the minor ranks, and you get to do the older guys once you get some experience. But the thing that I don't see is a strong enough interest in the sport.
Yeah.
It's a declining sport here in Montreal and in Canada. I know in BC it's much bigger. Well,
you can play your round, which helps out there.
Well, yeah, exactly. We don't have the weather for it here. We couldn't have an open stadium. And to be honest, I find that many of our hockey fans, and we're a great hockey city, are bandwagon fans. Imagine what it's like to have a losing baseball team here in Montreal. I can't imagine it.
We know. We saw it.
Imagine we would. Imagine. Imagine the Alouettes didn't do so well.
Well, that we're seeing that now, right? I mean, the Alouettes don't sell out Molson Stadium anymore.
You know what? I've been a season ticket holder for the past 5 years. I didn't renew this year.
Really? Why is that?
I don't find that there's a big enough experience. I would much rather see one or two NFL games in either Buffalo or Boston. And, you know, I feel like the entertainment value, I feel like the whole experience from tailgating to the fandom to just everything that's involved in the NFL experience way surpasses an entire season of sitting in the front row at Percival Molson.
I don't disagree with you. I think I've gone to probably a dozen games since the Alouettes came back in 1996, and probably 9 or 10 of them at Molson and another couple at the Big O. It doesn't speak to me. I know it speaks to a lot of people in this town. But it never spoke to me. And I think a big part of that for me, and it's something that you know what, you kind of hit it on the head, Brian, about baseball. When I was 6 years old, the Montreal Alouettes left Montreal. Or I guess at that time they were the Concords?
Yes.
Okay, so the Concords.
They changed to the Concords in 1984.
Right, Nelson Scalbania.
Yes.
I think he owned the team.
Nelson Santovania?
Scalbania.
Oh,
the guy,
okay.
Anyways. Yeah. No, not Nelson Santovania.
Not the former catcher?
No, he was too busy backing up Mike Fitzgerald
okay.
at the time.
All right.
We're back, though. We're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Mm. I get it. The Alouettes weren't around from when I was 6 until when I was 16. So I never had this great pull for the CFL. I have vivid memories of, I think it was 91 or 92 with Rocket Ismail and Gretzky, McNall, and John Candy owning the Argonauts. Mm. But other than that, you know, I mean, I remember him getting pelted, Rocket getting pelted by a snowball during the Grey Cup. But my memories of the CFL, it wasn't important to me. So when it came back, I was already a fan of the NFL. I was already a Dolphins fan. I was already doomed. So the Alouettes never jumped out at me. And I think that part of what you're talking about, Brian, in the city, with the lack of passion for baseball, is that you don't have that team. And it's one thing, and it's all good and fine, and I heard my parents talk about Sonny Wade, and I heard my parents talk about Sam the Rifle Echeverry. That was it, right? The Rifle? I think that's what they call
sure.
him. And well, that's that of the Rifleman Chuck Connors.
Nelson Santavania. The Rifle.
Exactly. And Chris Widger and Darren Fletcher.
Right.
And we're just going to turn this into a spiel about catchers who
yes.
played for the Expos. Brian, I think you're right. And I think that if there was a team, there would be more passion. And you can see it with the way that soccer has taken over in this town. And now you go into the Bank of Montreal and there are ads for the Impact. And you see bus shelters and Davey Arnault's picture is there. Mm-hmm. And they've developed these guys into celebrities in the city. Kids now want to grow up. And
soccer's a big sport.
Yeah.
Soccer's a big sport. Baseball, soccer is a big sport and it's easily marketable, especially to young kids. Soccer is growing very quickly here in Montreal. Here's my issue. If the Expos were to come back, they'd be an expansion team, correct?
Yeah, well, I would hope so. Karma-wise, that's what we're hoping for. But really, realistically, no, it would probably be...
relocation.
Yeah, it would be Oakland. It would be Tampa Bay, like he talked about.
I don't see Tampa Bay moving.
Well, I can't imagine Oakland coming to the Connie Mack's Philadelphia Athletics playing in Montreal. I just can't picture it.
There you go.
Les Athletiques. Okay, that'd be kind of cool.
No, it's too hard to say.
Yeah, but we... here's the problem.
Uh-huh.
Hockey and soccer and football... Okay, let's exclude football. Let's say hockey and soccer. These are professional. These are professional sports in major leagues.
Well, hold on now. I think that there's an argument to be made that CFL and the level of soccer played in North America are relatively on par with each other as far as professional sports.
Second tier.
Except yeah.
Soccer has way bigger interests, and it has much more devoted fans. The CFL,
Well, you're talking Montreal, though. Go to Regina, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing crazier than the Saskatchewan Rough Riders fans.
Yeah.
What else do they have?
Yeah. But again, we're the dog chasing its tail. If you have the professional sport, if you have the guys to look up to, if they're in the community.
Let me say this. This year, I'm playing my 30th year in baseball.
Wow.
Straight.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. This is my 30th season playing in some sort of baseball league.
Which league?
I play in the West Island Senior League.
It's, really?
Yeah,
I'm fired that league.
Do you?
Of course.
Well, watch your strike zone there, Blue. Okay. I play for the Caribous with
the TSN
alumni
people.
Eric Thomas, Sean Campbell, and Mitch Gallo.
Those right, with working knees and shoulders.
Yeah, watch out for me.
Request one of your games.
Okay.
Oh, danger.
Watch the outside corner. That's my weakness.
No, I give it. I give the black.
Brian, but again, I think it just comes down to the fact that, you know, without baseball here, it's hard to develop the passion.
And here's what I was going to say is that without the Montreal Expos, I probably would have never played baseball.
Of course.
I would have never played baseball. It's full circle. A lot of people who are organizing and are heavily involved in trying to bring baseball back to Montreal have this notion, this idea that you have to start at the grassroots level, that you have to start at the kids and start getting them interested in the game. I think it's completely the opposite.
What?
It's completely the opposite.
What do you mean? I want to hear this and
then
respond.
In order for kids to be interested in baseball, you should have a team. You should have a professional team, something that is close to home, something that they can look up to. Because without Andre Dawson, Gary Carter, and Tim Raines, I would have never played baseball.
But that doesn't...
What about national pride?
Well, and it also doesn't explain the success of baseball in British Columbia, where the closest Canada's team is 6,000 kilometers
but you,
away.
But like you said before, they play all year round.
Yeah.
You know, it's different.
Look, there are only 30 cities with Major League Baseball teams, Jay, and not every baseball player comes from...
But I'm talking in particular to this city.
Okay.
In this city, because of the competition from hockey and soccer, there's no way that
and
you could
football.
Start
let's
any
not,
program that will get
kid
kids
ourselves.
Interested.
Football in the province of Quebec is huge.
Yeah, and you're going to see in the future some great players coming up from the University of Laval and so on.
But, and again, so much of that stems from the Alouettes coming back in 1996 and kids who were born in 1985, in 1990, grew up with the Alouettes. They grew up, they wanted to play football. You'll have more, I mean, my high school, St. George's High School, on the Boulevard in Westmount, we had to beg and scratch and claw to get a hockey team, to get a baseball team. I just found out they're starting a football team next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. You would not, St. George's, the drama school. They've got a football team next year.
They do,
man.
Do they?
That's so exciting. But again, I bet you dollars to donuts.
They got berets, no helmets.
Jay, you stop right there.
Okay.
I'll bet you dollars to donuts they don't have a baseball team.
No.
And that was something that, because we were so passionate, I mean, we were the guys who convinced the principal to give us the day off the entire school so we could go to opening day.
Yeah, and the Expos, or Major League Baseball used to have a saying, their slogan was catch the fever.
Brian, thank you for the call.
Yeah, it was catch the fever, right?
Sure.
That's the only way it's going to work in Montreal is if the kids catch the fever. We get a team, they build a stadium, they start seeing, well, what is this sport? Look at this. Look at why we have a professional team here. We're playing against the New York Yankees. We're playing against the Boston Red Sox. What is all this? And that's where you get your grassroots, because they start exploring the game. They start collecting baseball cards. They start watching it on TV, and they gain an interest in the game. You can't just do that out of the blue. You can have no effect on the kids. They need something to look up to.
Tomorrow there will be a bunch of kids asking their parents after watching the news, who's Gary Carter?
That's right.
What does Gary Carter mean to this city? And let's hope that these parents spend some time and explain to them just what Gary Carter meant to the city of Montreal.
Hopefully that street name will remind them.
Our thanks again to Brian. Was that Brian NDG or Brian St. Henri?
That was Brian
St. Henri. Well, thank you to all the Brians out there.
Watch your strike zone, Blue.
This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be back with more of your calls.
Can it not be dead? Did the creep that angel wore? Not a creep that dead.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar. Follow him on Twitter at The Kaufman Show and at J-Pub Radio. It's like the show, but shorter, and you don't have to hear them bickering.
Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. Ring that bell. It's last call. 514-790-1690. 1-866-896-2546. Jay and I are tired and we want to go to bed.
Ladies and gentlemen, last call for radio. Mesdames et messieurs, Daniel Silvis, last call.
Thank you, Jay. Let's go to Andrew in Montebello. Hello, chef.
Hey there, guys. Tonight it's not Andrew, it's André.
Salut, André, ça va bien?
And I just want to know why Major League Baseball, they don't want my money too. You know, a long time I've been telling them, I give you the money, the English guy give you the money, two times money. Will you talk? No problem.
You give me the money, honey, I'll pay the rent.
No, seriously, guys, you start out the show with Kimmy Carter, which is just great and warms your heart, and then you bring in Anakin, and he just breaks my heart every time I happen to hear this gentleman sing. And it's not just a sports song. It's anything that he has substance in his songs. And it's just great to feel and actually hear the pride and of his roots. And his roots are Montreal, and we all know that. And it's basically around the Expos. So these are people who have gotten to a certain age. You were talking about when you're St. George's.
Yeah.
And you're having a principal who would actually let you take that day off.
Mr. Officer. Well, retiring this year. That's right. The principal's name is Mr. Officer. How hardcore
Mr.
is that?
Mr. Officer?
Mr. Officer.
Come on.
Yeah, it's like in Here Come the Hot Stepper.
Come
Excuse
on.
Excuse me, Mr. Officer.
Well, wow.
Yeah, man.
My sister actually works at that school right now. We'll talk about that another time.
You're on.
And there's actually people are going to be taking his job soon who were people who around your age who experienced what the Expo is. And what Dave, excuse me, what Jay said earlier about you need the big boys to want the little boys to want to play. That's exactly what they have to do. A triple-A team would be great, would be fun, but, I mean, that's not what this what we need. If ever something like this was going to work, the show was so positive, and then, Dave, you start shooting it down, saying it's not possible.
I didn't say that. I said that the government's not going to stand line up behind it, and I mean, you know what? I can sit here, and I can feed you all saccharine BS, or I can tell you how I feel. And frankly, I do a lot of digging on this stuff. I do a lot of digging on this stuff. Jay and I think this is what we cover the most. And I would rather not have people listen to my show, my 2 hours a week to talk to the world, and have you think that I'm putting on a show for you, that I'm lying, I want you to know that when baseball comes back, I'll be the happiest man in Canada. But until then, I'm going to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed.
But
I want
to
be realistic. I want to be realistic about this because I've had my heart broken.
I'm telling
you. So I don't want to have my heart broken again.
I'm telling you, you can make a party politique just for the Expos. We can have the manifestation and everything and down. I mean, that's how, unfortunately, how things work in this city. And until people really, I know what you're saying, and I do get it, until their corporate money is there. But I actually do think with the French and the English, and now it's all internet and stuff like that. I mean, but the money is there that wasn't actually there before. The dollar is so much better. Who was the individual who gave that great speech at the beginning for, I think it was ESPN or who?
It's Fox Sports, John Morosi.
I mean, it sounded so logical.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, we had a guest on a few weeks ago by the name of Noah Pransky, who's an investigative journalist in Tampa Bay, who explained to me that they're drawing 11,000, but they're making money. They're doing fine in Tampa Bay. They don't need a new stadium. The TV revenues make it so that they don't have to leave. Oakland probably is going to be okay as well.
I'm not sure if Tampa Bay is making that much money. Why are they relying so much on their farm system and not going after the big guns?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, it's not, I don't know.
They've
always been described as the Expos.
Yeah,
or the
I was
ALEs.
Just about to say that's exactly what the Expos were. But by relying on their farm system, they have built one of the greatest farm systems in baseball.
Yeah, but it also shows to where their idea is going, their politic is that we've got to save money.
But you know what, Jay?
They're not going after big, big names.
Every time someone goes out and overpays for a big, big name, the guy doesn't end up performing. Mm. Every single time.
I know, but that's not what the scouts are thinking.
But when you get it, when you sign a guy on his eighth year after he's played 7 years for a team and he's a free agent, chances are he's already maxed out. He's already done the best that he can do. At least Tampa Bay sees a guy like Evan Longoria and says, we're going to lock you up until 2020. You're going to be with us.
Are they saying that for that reason, or are they saying that this will also save us a hell of a lot of money?
But why wouldn't they do it? I mean, the guy's one of the greatest players. He comes up through their system.
No, but I agree with it.
It's
I agree with it.
It's what the Expos could have done with Vladimir Guerrero. They could have said, you are our guy, and we're going to sign you to a 15-year deal. And it's not Roberto Luongo. This isn't the New York Islanders. It might not have worked with Guerrero. He played another 7-8 years after he left Montreal.
Yeah.
So it probably would have worked out. The Tampa Rays just traded, over the offseason, James Shields.
Yeah.
One of their aces, not quite on the level of Cy Young Award winner David Price, but probably their number two guy.
Mm-hmm.
They traded him to Kansas City for a guy by the name of Will Myers,
mm-hmm.
who's still in the minors right now, but they say will be the next Longoria. Another guy in their team that once they call up, they can probably decide within the next 2 or 3 years he's the real deal and then sign him to a massive contract and make sure that he's a Ray for life.
But
a Montreal Ray.
I'm all for it, but what is their motivation? What is their motivation for doing it? Is it because
financial responsibility?
Exactly.
But
and why do they
wrong
have
with
to
that.
Worry so much?
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
But
that
Jay, you look
I'm
at
not calling
team,
the guy a liar
look
that he
Yankees,
was saying that they're making
the,
money, but at the same time.
Jay,
I mean,
look at the Yankees, look at the Dodgers, look at the Angels, look at the damn Blue Jays right now. Mm. People spend foolishly, and you don't get bang for your buck.
Because people can spend foolishly.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you
Tampa
should.
Tampa Bay can't spend foolishly,
it
so it's not
mean,
going as well as they say
it
is.
Doesn't mean that you should. Thank you for the call, Andrew. And I guess you, that little bumper was right. If you follow us on Twitter, you don't have to listen to his bicker.
Yes.
Let's go
we
to
might
Mike.
On Twitter anyway.
We might, but, yeah. You know.
I don't type that much.
Let's go to Mike in St. Leonard.
You're a better typist than I am.
I am, thank you?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, Mike.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So we're not going to bump you for Bruce Arthur this week. You've got the floor, my friend.
That's totally legit. I wanted to hear what Bruce Arthur had to say as well, too. Even he sounded like he needed a psychiatrist last week. I mean, they were down and out in Toronto, but that's okay.
Mike, before you jump in, I just want to tell you that the Denver Post is reporting that Stéphane Roy, the brother of Patrick, says that Patrick Roy will be the new coach of the Colorado Avalanche. Good. Just figured I'd throw that out there.
Oh, good for him.
Breaking news.
That's right.
It's like your show always has the breaking news.
You know? Yeah, well, you know, it's a Monday,
if
so
it doesn't,
stuff's going to happen.
Make it up.
That's So what's up, Mike?
I listened to your last caller, Brian, talking about the Alouettes.
Great call.
I mean, that one clip where he mentions about being a season ticket holder and giving up his season tickets, that needs to be cut from your show and forwarded to the marketing department of the Alouettes. That's an underlying feeling that I've had for years, and I asked actually Mo Khan about that once on his show. I said, like, what is...
Wait a minute. Why are you calling other shows?
Jay, Mike. Don't get jealous. Don't get jealous. It's okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Share.
Sorry to...
Mo's a good man.
And, oh, Mo's a great guy, but...
Mo's a football guy, you know?
Yes, he is.
He's got ties with the Alouettes. He's
sure.
Big into local football.
That's right.
And I said, you know, Mo, like you, Dave, I've gone to a couple of games at the Olympic Stadium in the last 5 or 6 years. You know, the playoff games or the last game of the season. And you know what? You just sit there. Like, I don't feel any sort of attachment. I don't feel an outreach just because Anthony Cavill is known and you see them doing some charity work here and there. I don't get the sense that the marketing behind it is enough to push this thing forward.
Well, it's hard to compete. It's hard to compete with the behemoth that is the NFL.
It is, but when you own a professional football team, I mean, what are you going to sit there and just say, woe is me, or are you going to try and make it work? And I don't know if the Alouettes have really tried to make it work. Their TV coverage is outstanding. I mean, they couldn't ask any more of RDS and TSN.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, across the country, the CFL couldn't ask for any more. But in the local markets, I mean, outside of the actual stadium, I don't see a lot of people walking around with Alouettes jerseys.
Not really, no. But again, it doesn't have the same, I mean, we know what the big dog is in this town.
Yeah.
And that's the jersey.
You know what? I didn't get that feeling when the Expos were around, though. I really didn't.
What do you mean?
When the Expos were in town, as big as the Canadians were, the Expos held their own. I mean, let's be honest, especially during the 80s when I was growing up.
Oh, they did, yeah.
I mean, Expos were Expos, and it wasn't a situation where people thought the Canadians were any bigger than the Expos were. And those were years.
It was Major League Baseball. There was 24 teams at the time. It was, yeah. You know, it was...
Major League Baseball is a big deal.
And the lean
it's
years...
It's not eight teams on a second tier,
outside
you know,
of 86, those were the lean years for the Canadians
right.
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same point in time, I mean, even as a cultural thing, I thought baseball really had its foot in the ground here. This goes back to what Jay was saying before. Minor leagues, we don't need minor leagues here. It's not going to work. We need Major League Baseball. That's what'll work. That'll what'll set things off. The minor league will just be ignored like everything else. I mean, even the Impact have to fight and claw, and now they finally established themselves. They're in the top league here in North America anyways. But it's this kind of thing where people are Impact fans. They're not fans of the league. They don't know. I mean, I'd be even hard-pressed to find an Impact fan who can name five other teams in the league.
Really? You don't think there's a whole, like, you don't think there's a Columbus Crew-specific bar in downtown Montreal?
I can
name them because I put them on the schedules at work when I'm staffing. When I'm staffing my schedule, I always put the other team. So.
That or you have a severe gambling problem.
Yes. That, yeah. That could be that as well. That's funny.
But headed to that baseball talk and, you know, what the reporter said on Fox, I saw that being tweeted. I mean, I guess what's happening now is people are starting to confirm everything that we've ever believed. But we needed to hear from the outside, and that's where the push will come. And so,
well, of course, we're not loud enough in our own city to make the noise. It has to come from outside.
This is true, and I don't think it's a question of political will.
Man, if anything, it's political won't. We've got to keep politics out of this.
Well, it's neutral. The way politics always helps, and it's helped the arena in Quebec City, so we can't say that it doesn't help. I mean, without their mayor in Quebec City, that there's no way the new Nordiques, whenever it happens.
Yeah, but if I'm allowed to editorialize a tiny little bit, I think a lot of the reason that the stadium is getting built in Quebec City is that the Conservative government genuinely believes that they can still get votes in Quebec City because they won a bunch in that first election.
That's what.
There is a bigger chance of Jay Farrar winning a seat as a member of the Marxist-Leninists in the next federal election.
They
there
don't
is
count
the Conservatives
out.
Picking up seats in Montreal. Honestly, though,
Harper.
The closest they came might have been Mount Royal in the last election, but Montreal's a write-off. It has been. Montreal hasn't had a Conservative since the Mulroney era on the island of Montreal.
That's right.
So that's
you calling
20-something years ago.
You calling me a commie?
No, I'm saying that there's less of a chance. There's more of a chance of you becoming a commie.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
But okay. You know what is the question? You know how businessmen work. A smart businessman never uses his own money.
Yeah.
So you go get the $1 billion from the Caisse de Dépôt, you pay it back slowly.
Yeah.
And this is the whole thing. Like even I'm sure you must have read that report. It was quietly released maybe about 6 or 7 months after the Expos had left. And what it stated was that the government of Quebec, if they had the political will at the time, would have kept the Expos and purchased the team themselves. They could have run it at revenue neutral. And actually would have made sense for them.
I absolutely did not see that.
You didn't see that?
No.
The reason being is that when you factor in the cost of the Olympic Stadium versus running the team and about the 50% tax on any salary, even a minimum baseball salary, an average baseball salary, it would have been able to pay off the debt on the stadium. It pays for itself. This is what people don't understand. When it comes to the luxury tax and actually tax on the actual player's salary, you're looking at it, if you're at $100 million payroll, you're looking at $50 million in the government's coffers. The question is, what do they want to do with it? And even if they take a quarter of that, or 25%, or 50% of that, in terms of paying off debt on a building that they build to provide or to make that work, it's the same way as giving a grant to Merck Frost or any other company.
Yeah, but it's a tougher sell.
Yeah, that's it. It's just a question of political will. But anyone with any sort of economic sense knows that it makes sense. It's just an investment. Whether it's baseball, football, soccer, or pharmaceutical company, it makes no difference.
What was the quote last time from, I said Bouchard, I said Laundrie before, and I was overruled that it was Bouchard, but I remember Bernard Laundrie saying something about how the government of Quebec is not in the business of helping American athletes or something like that.
That was later on.
Was it?
Yeah, that was later on. That was after the whole stadium fiasco.
Yeah, okay. He's an idiot. And he knows, he's an idiot for saying that. He's an idiot also because he knows better, and that's not the situation at all. When people say, "Oh,
yeah," but it's all again, like it's all optics.
It's optics, but you know, this is why in politics everyone's crying for someone to step out front and finally explain things to the dummies who don't do any reading, who don't have any sense to figure out how things work. The reason why it's never any political will, and why we have to cut on hospitals, is because hospitals aren't revenue neutral. Hospitals lose money and suck blood like you wouldn't believe, literally. Whereas a business, whether it's baseball or any other business, generates income.
Yeah.
Very simple. But no one ever wants to go up front and say that conversation because it's not popular, but it's the truth. And this is the reason why, even in Florida, after that fiasco, you may still have the Tampa Bay Rays get a baseball stadium.
I highly doubt it.
I don't.
Really?
No.
All right, I'll bet you a beer.
Yeah, sure. Why not? You get the right politicians in charge who want to keep that team. A little bit of backroom dealing.
It's also it's like you said, Mike. If you understand what the product is, if you can explain to these guys that, listen, we bring back baseball to Montreal. We're going to put this team in the American League East.
Yep.
We put this team in the American League East. You have Boston. You have New York.
And you have Toronto.
You have Toronto. Cities that surround Montreal, who we get bachelor parties from all the time. Believe me, I know. Think about the tourism attraction that this is in the northeastern United States.
Sure.
But they don't see it that way because they don't understand the dynamic. They don't understand how the league works. But they don't understand the teams.
You don't want to be upselling the fact that people will come from other cities to watch us. You want to be able to prove to Major League Baseball that Montreal can support it. Not
I'll tell a politician within... whatever I need to get right. a team in this town. Okay? Just like he'll tell me whatever he needs to get my vote,
Fair
I
enough.
Will tell him whatever he needs to support a team.
Mike, thanks for the call, man. You too. We'll speak to you next week. Let's go to John in Denver. Welcome back to the show, John.
Gentlemen, long time no speak.
How are you? I saw the news. I figured you might give us a shout.
Yeah, I just sent you the tweet. Didn't know if you saw it yet.
Patrick Waugh will be the rumor right now, according to the Denver Post, that Patrick Waugh will be the head coach of the Colorado Avalanche. How about that?
Yeah, I'm not a fan this time around. Last time, big fan of that move. This time, not so much.
Why not?
I don't think he's ready to coach in an NHL team. I really don't. I know he has the passion, but I feel like he will be a... God, this is something, I hate these words coming out of my mouth. Another Joe Sacco.
Another Joe Sacco.
But yes, I guarantee it's going to be a lot more entertaining, John.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the meltdown next year. It's going to be awesome.
You think it's going to be next year? I think it's going to be in 3 days when he realizes the talent he has other than his stars. He's going to have somebody to punch him in the face so we can actually see some stars.
Well, I wonder, I would think that he's developed a lot of patience. And I know, obviously, the Patrick Waugh that you remember is the hothead that played goal for you. But he's been in Quebec City working behind the bench for years now.
Yep, I'm well aware of that, and he's done a tremendous job up there.
Right.
I'm just not sure. Well, first of all, I'm not sure he's ready. But I definitely think Denver is the wrong place for him to start his NHL coaching career because I think...
Better than Montreal.
I think that those are the two locations he shouldn't be. I think if you were to get the Coyotes job, it would be better than having the pressure and his playing ghost hanging around him here.
You know what? After what they did to Gretzky in Phoenix, I don't see Patrick Waugh taking that job.
Yeah, but I think we may end up doing the same thing to Waugh here, and that really concerns me.
Well, you're not going to, if you guys fire Patrick Waugh, you're not going to be owing him $8 million when it happens. That's for sure.
That's true. Before I get out of here, I want to talk a little Alouettes football.
Sure, for all the way from Denver, Colorado.
Well, I do have a stake in this because your new head coach is my former college head coach.
That's right.
And remember when I told you I'd start calling once the season started rolling up?
You did say that.
I weep for Montreal. I do. I weep for your future of football. This guy doesn't know a screen anything more than a screen pass, a 3-yard dump, and a short, crappy quarterback.
Well, we have a good quarterback, so
he's going to find a way to ruin him.
The screen and the 3-yard dump sounds like a whole bunch
he's
of
going to find
that's
a way.
Like CFL football.
He's going to find a way to ruin Anthony Calvillo's career.
Wow.
That is some surgeon.
We will remember those words, John, and we'll reevaluate at the halfway mark of the season.
Oh no, we're going to reevaluate this every week.
Fair enough.
And I really hope this doesn't happen because it'll be a sign of the apocalypse if Tim Tebow and
Not happening.
It's not happening.
No, I don't think so. He can't play in the CFL.
He can't play in the NFL. Where else is he going to go?
Arena.
Oh, I would pay money to see him end up in the arena.
Arena
league.
Football
would
be
make me giddy.
But arena football is what made Kurt Warner a great quarterback.
Yeah.
You learn how to throw under pressure. Yeah, I get that it's... You look at arena football probably the way that... I don't know. What league do
you
want to make fun
soccer.
Of right now?
Roller,
okay, there you go.
Roller hockey?
Roller hockey. Yeah, the go Roadrunners.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
if
up
not,
for debate.
If not, there's always the lingerie league. So, you know.
Hey, they offered him a quarterback coaching position because he throws like a girl.
Wow.
You don't remember that one?
Oh, John in Denver. If Jimmy was on the rim shot right now, that would have gotten one.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, man. Nice to hear your voice.
Cheers, guys. Have a great night.
You too. I want to thank our guests from tonight. It was a really fun show.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for tomorrow. 12 short hours. Until there's a Gary Carter Street in Montreal.
You going over there?
Yeah, you going to come? I'm going with your brother.
Yeah, I got to see him tomorrow. He performed today at the ball hockey charity over in Côte d'Ange, and it was a lot of fun.
Good. I went
Sounded
to watch
great.
It last
He did
year.
The Expo song, too, by
oh,
the
you're
way.
Kidding me.
Yeah, he did 25 Feels Like 93 MTL stand-up and added in the Expo song, and UP was very emotional.
Aw, well,
out there dancing.
You love, of
with
course.
With my brother, yeah.
So because he was with your brother, you didn't make fun of him this time?
Yeah, Yupi, I don't know if Yupi listens to the show, but he was a bit of a jerk to me today, so I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, he remembers.
Yeah.
He remembers you.
He was kind of mocking me when I was talking to Sergio, so I don't know what it was.
Jay, a Muppet never forgets. They're like elephants.
An orangutan never forgets. Woe is me.
Thank you so much to Kimmy Carter, Gary Carter's daughter, for sharing her memories of her dad. And our thanks to John Vergados from the League de Baseball Senior, Ron Pichet. Don't forget, May 25th at Hunsick Park, Oil Can Boyd.
Oil Can Boyd.
Versus Bill Lee. And of course, as always, thanks to Torben Rolfson. We'll see y'all next week.
It's not what you think. Stayed out too late. Had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, because it's fun. Davey and me, face down in our soup, some French restaurant. I saw Riviere de Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll see you next Monday night on TSN 690.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?